Good evening and welcome along for another Hangout Q&A, everyone. In our live stream, we dive into the questions writers actually argue about in parking lots, bike shops, and comments sections across the internet. I'm glad you're here with us tonight. Whether you're riding with full leathers or just dreaming about your first bike, this is the place to talk about what really matters in the motorcycling community.
What really matters, he says. Translation. Buckle up, folks. We're about to spend 15 minutes discussing pants.
Well, considering those pants might save your skin, literally, I'd say they're worth the conversation.
Fair point. I've seen your old riding jeans. They look like they survived a cheese grater. Fashion tragedy and safety hazard.
Experience, my friend. Every scar tells a story.
And every story tells me you should have listened to better advice. Anyway, tonight's topic is a spicy one. Whether full motorcycle safety gear should be a personal choice or something required by law.
Exactly. It's a debate that touches on freedom, responsibility, and how we define risk as riders. Let's get to it.
All right, first question. Why is full safety gear such a big deal in the first place? I mean, motorcycles existed long before armored jackets and airbag vests. What changed?
So, in short, what changed is technology. That's what changed. That's a great question. The importance of full safety gear really comes down to our growing understanding of injury protection and what those injuries are and how those injuries happen. Early riders just relied on really heavy leather or dense and heavy canvas that was mostly for weather protection. And the modern gear is engineered specifically with the impact in mind. Things like the impact armor, there's abrasion, that's a hard word to say, abrasion resistant materials like Kevlar and Cordura. And then there's advanced technologies like integrated airbag systems. Statistically, the protective gear that we have, it really does significantly reduce severe injuries. Helmets alone are shown to reduce the risk of fatal head injuries and also combined with armor jackets and pants, those prevent road rash and other fractures. As our technology improves, so does our expectations around what gear should provide in terms of safety. It's similar to seatbelts. I remember when seatbelts were optional. They were included. I remember being a kid and seeing promotions around the inclusion of safety belts in automobiles where some cars didn't even have seatbelts. And motorcycle gear is evolving similar in the same way. It doesn't completely eliminate all the risks, but it increases the odds that a rider is going to have the ability to walk away from an impact. There's that adage, you know, dress for the slide, not the ride. And I think that's a good mentality to have, where you're thinking about what might be your worst case scenario. And I think that perfectly sums up what the philosophy behind full gear really is. But if we're riding for what we think is a likely scenario, I think that that's probably the best rule of thumb to use when you're considering what gear you need or what gear to use, thinking about what conditions you're going to encounter, you know, how hot is it, how cold is it. I think that those considerations help us to pick the right gear and the typical scenarios so that we can be prepared. It says, I see way too many people in my city wearing t-shirts and jeans in hot weather. I'm not a rider, but it seems worrisome. It is a good point. I mean, a t-shirt and jeans is only protecting you from the sun. It's not protecting you from anything else. In a scenario where you go down for any reason, you are basically naked, and road rash is going to be in your future. The instantaneous removal of that clothing and an impact on the road, that cheese grater that asphalt is, jeans and t-shirt are not going to do anything. Thunder Rock 18, his comment is that he agrees, just like football strayed away from leather, the leather helmets, when the scope of the event was realized, that it is like that, that, you know, the gear that we wear is technically designed specifically for the environment and conditions that we're likely going to face. Thunder Rock also says that gear should be a choice based on what I intend or what is intended to you're intended to ride, and in it you're also your experience and your familiarity. Along with that, I have to admit that if I am like I have a friend's house, he's literally less than a block away from my house, and I do sometimes ride there. With a t-shirt and jeans and sometimes not even a helmet. But it's, you know, where where I can go slow, I know the way, and there's never been an incident. You know, I'm riding in my own neighborhood, just literally down the street. Those kinds of things can become a consideration to, you know, is it worth the trouble of, I mean, it'd feel almost ridiculous to put on full gear and then ride a block down the road. But yeah, I mean, there is risk that we inherently are willing to take on and adopt depending on what our circumstances are and what the conditions happen to be.
It's okay, but here's the counter argument. Motorcycles are often associated with freedom. Doesn't mandating full gear undermine that sense of personal liberty?
I suppose it depends on who is mandating what. I mean, I can have a personal mandate. I know a lot of riders that, you know, they follow the all the gear all the time philosophy, and they mandate that for themselves. I mean, that's an evaluation of personal risk. I mean, I'm not going to look at that guy or say to that guy that he should do something different than what he's doing. If his decision when he rides is he puts on, you know, all the pads and all the armor and, you know, the boots, the gloves, everything, and that's how he feels comfortable riding, I mean, I have no reason to say otherwise. But I mean, that goes to the idea of a choice, and, you know, and I think that when we're talking about mandates, where the mandate comes, I think is really at the heart of the debate. That, I mean, I might be dealing with a mandate that comes from my family or from my spouse, or, that it isn't really my idea, but, you know, it's a deal that I make. It's a commitment I made, and that mandate is honored whenever I ride. And is that, you know, a diminishment of my own personal sense of freedom or liberty? I mean, I don't think so, if it's a deal I made. I guess it changes a little bit that when mandates are coming from places where there isn't a deal that's made, you know, where a lot of times governments will justify safety regulations based on wider consequences. They'll, you know, consider things like the injury from a motorcycle accident has these social impacts. There's medical costs, long-term care, and the emotional toll that it might have on families and the community. And they justify making legal mandates based on those criteria. ThunderRock18 has a comment related to the question, recommendations made by experienced writers would go a lot further than government making sweeping statements. And I certainly wish that as governments are getting involved in limiting or diminishing our individual decision making, I wish that they did better at engaging with people who actually know the risks, who understand the risks, and can actually give them real guidance about what to do as they make those kinds of mandates. I think balancing freedom and responsibility really is not simple. It's true, writers feel that, you know, they should be able, I mean, it's all about freedom and liberty and having that individual choice. But I think rather than legislation, to me it makes more sense to focus on education. If you're going to spend money on enforcement, maybe it's a better idea to spend that money on, you know, just training, or I don't know how you do that, commercials maybe, and to help writers understand the importance of these safety kinds of things. Tell us the stats, tell us what's going on so that we can make informed decisions. ThunderRock18 again coming in with his comment. He says the Hurt Report stated clearly to a degree. And those kinds of reports can help guide what those legislative elements probably should or should not be. There's always going to be this tension between individual choice and collective responsibility. I don't know that I could say that either side is really right or wrong, but it depends on what values exist within these various communities that are going to drive these priorities. But like I said, I would prefer education over mandates all the time.
Let's talk practicality. For new riders especially, full gear can be expensive and sometimes uncomfortable. Is it realistic to expect everyone to gear up all the time?
Is it realistic to expect? I don't think it is. I think that, like I mentioned before, if somebody makes that personal choice to totally gear up every time, I think that's a perfectly fine way to go. I think that maybe you will find that you are over compensating, depending on whatever that scenarios might be. But also the question around financials, that, yeah, gear is expensive. I mean, if you want, like, a really good pair of riding pants, I mean, you're walking in at about $300 for something that's, you know, Kevlar lined and actually has places for impact padding and all kinds of things and little bits of armor here and there. It's not cheap, and, you know, it goes up real quick from $300 to you could spend almost as much as you want on gear. But I think that especially for a newer rider coming into riding, I would focus on, first of all, the collection of a certified helmet, something that you feel that you can trust depending on the kind of riding that you're going to be doing. I have multiple helmets for that reason, but if I'm a new rider and I'm trying to focus on, you know, how do I balance or manage my budget, I would start with that certified helmet. Then I would be wearing gloves. I would get a decent jacket, at least, you know, something heavy canvas that has the ability to put impact pads into. If you can do better than that, leather is going to be a better protection. But then wearing ankle-high boots of some kind. But if you have those four elements, a good certified helmet that matches your type of riding, your gloves, your jacket, and a good pair of boots, I think that that's your entry point. You're ready to go. And then you can gradually pile on other things, you know, as you can budget and save and figure out ways that you can collect that other gear.
So, to summarize, gear is important, freedom is important, and wallets are less enthusiastic.
I am not sure I know what that means. That's one way to put it, I guess. It's a nuanced issue with strong opinions on all sides.
Nuanced? Please! The internet doesn't do nuanced. It does caps lock and exclamation points.
True enough. And that's exactly why these controversial questions tend to spark so much passionate debate.
Oh, you mean the one guaranteed to light up the comment section like a burnout contest. Perfect. Let's stir the pot. All right, here it is. Should full motorcycle safety equipment be a personal choice, or should it be a legal requirement for all riders?
We hit on this a little bit already, I mean, about whether governments should get involved. I suppose if I were to jump straight in to whether what my opinion is about, you know, this idea between personal choice and legal requirements, I personally am not a fan of what might be called nanny laws, where someone else decides in my best interest what it is that I should do. I know that, and I think that I would not say that as a completely broad or sweeping statement. I think that that applies to adults that should have that ability to take responsibility for their decision. I know where I live, there's a state mandate that there is a helmet law, but it only applies to riders that are under 18, where they are mandated to wear a helmet, whether they're, you know, passenger or rider, that they have to have a helmet. And if they don't have a helmet on, there's fines and all kinds of things. So their police are getting involved in trying to figure out how to enforce those mandates. If we're talking about should there be laws around full gear, like am I wearing the right kind of, not only the right kind of helmet, but also the right kind of jacket, the right kind of pants, the right kind of boots, the right kind of gloves, the right kind of eye protection. I think when you go that deep, I don't know how you would enforce that. I mean, unless your police are out just doing random checkpoints or whatever, making sure that, you know, they're poking you in all the spots where you should have this gear on. But I don't think that that's realistic. I mean, not only is it a diminishment of individual liberty, but it's also, I don't know how you would enforce full gear. I mean, helmet laws are easy. I mean, you can see somebody wearing a helmet or not wearing a helmet. Things like a DOT stamp are pretty easy to see from a distance. But going any deeper than that, really, it just doesn't even make sense. The expense that would have to go into enforcing something around full gear just seems ridiculous, especially when the cost of education is really not that high. If you just convince people that it's a good idea, I mean, it's no different than seatbelts. I mean, I don't think that the state should be mandating seatbelts for adults, but we all wear them because we agree it's a good idea. I mean, it even gets to the point that if I get in a car, I put a seatbelt on, and it's not like I thought about it and said, maybe I'll put a seatbelt on today. But if I'm literally like moving the car in the driveway, yeah, those are the times I don't put seatbelts on. And I, you know, have to deal with that stupid noise that the car makes. But yeah, I mean, my opinion around should there be legislation around full gear, I think that it's ridiculous. There's no way to enforce that. Checking comments. A couple have come in, one stating that we should dress for the crash, not the ride. However, common sense should inform what we do, which is, and that's the solution, perhaps early budget encourage safety. And I think that that's also good advice, that when you're coming into buying a motorcycle for the first time, part of that budget should include at least that entry-level gear, that you're not ready to ride until you have your basic level set up. Insurance coverage eligibility could inform basic gear choices. Insurance can go from minor to severe plenty quickly, depending on protection. And I think that could be a good way to encourage gear. I think that insurance companies have the right to mandate. We talked about where does the mandate come from at the beginning. Well, I think insurance companies have the right to mandate whatever they want. They're private companies. If you get in an accident and part of a report shows that, oh, you weren't wearing gear, I mean, that's no different than things like workers' compensation. If I get in an accident at work and it turns out that I was on drugs or drunk, well, workers' compensation, that insurance, doesn't apply to me now because I violated the terms of that coverage. And I think insurance is a good way to look at that insurance is independent, free organizations that can mandate whatever they choose. If they place it in their policy that, hey, you get in an accident and you're not wearing, you know, the gear that we agreed on, well, now you're basically not covered. The insurance can void your coverage based on those kinds of things. And I made some pretty bold statements today, so if there are disagreements, I suppose I won't be too surprised.
Well, there you have it, folks. Whether you ride wrapped in enough armor to survive a medieval joust or prefer the wind in your hair and bugs in your teeth approach, just remember, road rash is not a fashion statement. I'll be clocking out for the night before he starts quoting safety statistics again. Ride smart, ride safe. And if you ignore all this advice, at least moisturize. Your future self will thank you. Good night, everyone. Back to you, boss.
Thanks, Ace, and thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. Your comments and perspectives are what makes this discussion so meaningful. This is a topic with no easy answers, but conversations like this will help us better understand one another as a community. I'll stick around for a few more minutes to answer additional questions from the live chat, so feel free to keep them coming in.
In the meantime, I can talk a little bit about some of the videos that are coming to the channel. Recently, Saturday, posted a video. The idea of that video was that the fact that motorcycling is inherently dangerous. There's a little bit of a correlation between adages that are given in pilots around. There's a statement from 1918 where it says that there are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old bold pilots. But the video is kind of stemming off of that idea of what it really takes to transition into an old biker or being an old rider, that there is indeed a change in mindset that happens over time, where it starts pretty intense and adrenaline focused, and then it kind of tempers down into something that's I guess you'd say a little bit more meditative. Coming up on Wednesday, a video will publish that is actually in regard to what might be considered a lunchbox rider coming in. And the lunchbox rider is a little bit different than what might be the weekend warrior or the guy that just rides on the weekend. But the guy who rides every day and uses his bike as his commuter vehicle, and what that does to that type of rider who's you know, in that riding environment as often as every day. So that'll be coming up on Wednesday. So I'm happy to continue to publish these videos. It's pretty fun for me to do, so I appreciate the audience engaging with them and watching them. Having conversations around those topics is, I get the most fun actually in the comment sections, seeing what comes back and what those responses are. Thunder Rock has got a comment. He says, it's a hard sell to enforce on recommended minimum for gear requirements, though newer riders perhaps need that guidance most. That is true. The slight argument to that is that I think that if riders are trying to figure out what they should do, what they should find a group of riders that are experienced. I mean, sometimes you can trust the things that you get told. You know, the guy at the shop is, you know, he's knowledgeable. He may have enough integrity to guide you the right way. The problem with the guy at the shop is a lot of times he's got incentive behind pushing you into a direction that may be a little bit more than what you need, and not as interested in what might be considered those minimums. I think that a better source, I mean, the government definitely can provide information that can be generally available, but for specifics around types of riding and those kinds of things, it would probably be better to reach out to somebody who's actually experienced.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everyone. We appreciate your comments and your questions, your participation in our live stream today. I'll see you out on the road, and we'll see you next time.